Tonight, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I want to preach tonight upon the thought, seeing the unseen, seeing the unseen. Verse 18 of chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians, I want to read this verse, and then we will be moving on into chapter 5 as we progress tonight through this message. Verse 18. Of chapter 4, verse 18 says, "While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." The thought that I can glean from that verse is the thought seeing the unseen. Paul says, we don't look at the things which are seen. In other words, we're not depending on our physical sight. We're not to depend upon what we see physically, but we're to depend on what we see spiritually. Because he says, but at the things which are not seen. The things that are not seen are not perceived by our physical eyesight. The things that are not seen are only seen through the eyes of faith. Then as you move into chapter 5, you see the great value of seeing the unseen. Sometimes you hear the statement made, somebody will say, well, it all depends on how you look at it. Well, there's some truth to that. It depends on how you look at it. And that's kind of the thought right here. But really, it depends more on what you see. Or maybe we could even go a step further and say, it depends on what you don't see with the physical eyes, but it depends on what you see with the eyes of faith. You see, we're to walk by faith and not by sight. We're not to be controlled by what we see physically, but by what we see through the eyes of faith. That's really what will move us along better. That's what will give us more hope and more peace and more encouragement, is to have our lives governed by what we see through the eyes of faith rather than what we see through our physical eyes. Because what we see through our physical eyes can be discouraging. What do we see through our physical eyes? We see a decaying world. We see a world that's lapsed into sin. We see discouragement all around us. We see things that are of negative context happening constantly. Every single day we're bombarded with something that is in a negative vein. That's seeing with the physical eyes. But if we can see through our spiritual eyes, which is what he's talking about, then we can move into the blessings that he goes into as we get into chapter 5 in terms of the value of seeing the unseen. And he talks about that in chapter 5. Let's pray. Father, bless the reading and the preaching tonight of your precious word. We pray this evening that you will bless us all. May we leave here tonight having been glad to have been in the house of God. And I pray tonight that every spiritual need would be met. And then, secondly, that every physical need would be met. But first of all, we pray that spiritual needs will be met, because spiritual needs being met will carry us over into a more gladdened eternity. So, Lord, now bless, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. In verse 18, again, he says, we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. Let's notice the value of that. When we can see the unseen, that will impact us in a tremendous way. Chapter 5 has a bearing tonight on all of us. We're not just reading a remote portion of Scripture. We're not reading the words that came into print through divine inspiration 2,000 years ago. The Bible is more than that. This book right here, this word, the Word of God, is relevant for today's living. It's current. It's up to date. Do you know the Bible is up to date? It is not outdated. It's up to date. It's not antiquated. though it's old, as far as when the Bible was given, it's old, but it's in tune, it's up to date, it's relevant to modern day needs. It can help us in these days that we're living. These verses do apply. When we ever get to the place in our life to where we think the Bible does not apply to us in our spiritual needs and conditions, then we're beginning to suffer because it does apply. God's Word has something to offer us tonight, every one of us, wherever we may be, whatever our case might be, whatever challenges we might be dealing with, whatever situations may be confronting us, whatever lies upon our plate, God's Word tonight has something for us personally. Not just for the person beside you, but you yourself. Not for the person behind you, but you yourself or the person in front of you. Always see the Bible as relevant. Always recognize the truth of what Paul said. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So it's a book that gives us instruction. How will we be instructed tonight? Well, the key tonight is to see the unseen. The key tonight is to look at the things which cannot be seen with our physical eyes, but can only be perceived through the eyes of faith. What is the blessings that will occur? What will be the result of seeing the unseen? I would mention, first of all, tonight, seeing the unseen will give us a solid assurance. It'll give us a solid assurance when we see the unseen. Chapter 5, verse 1. For we know. That's a good way to start. We know. Is it refreshing when someone says, I know? Paul says, we know. Not we guess, not we hope so, but we know. Now, why does he have such a solid assurance? Because he sees the unseen. Notice the results of that. We know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, that is physical death. The dissolving of this earthly tabernacle, that's pertaining to death. The death of the body. When this earthly tabernacle is dissolved, we have a building of God. An house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. When we see the unseen, we have a solid assurance that we have something to look forward to. We have a new body in store. We have the promise of life in eternity. When this body breaks down, when this physical life is over, we know. And I love those words of certainty. Let's read verse 2. For in this we groan earnestly. There's a lot of groaning going on, isn't there, these days? I groan more now than I've ever groaned. I'll be quite honest with you. I really groan when I'm sore from logging. God didn't call me into the logging business, folks. And between them slate boys and Jim, they worked me to death. But I appreciated their help, though. But I got a bunch of sawdust now in my yard where a nice shade tree used to be. But guess what? Thank the Lord. I could have it a lot worse. I'm glad I'm alive to see the sun. Amen. To enjoy the heat. And that's a kind of an illustration of how life is anyway. That's what it is to live. We're giving up things that we enjoy, but they're temporal. But we know that if the earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. I'd much rather see the reality and see the truth of an eternal body than a physical temporal body. I'm more glued in on that eternal body. And that's what he's talking about. We groan. There's a groaning that goes on among the people of God because we're tired of the of what it means to live in these dying bodies with their aches and their pains and their temporal condition. We groan. We're earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, our new body, our building in heaven. That's where our heart is tonight. That's our real desire. This world's not our home. We're just passing through it. We're pilgrims. We're not here to live forever in this dying body. We will one day have a glorified, undying body, but we're now living in a dying body. It'd be a wonderful thing if people would spend half as much time focusing upon their spiritual being and spiritual condition as they are on their physical condition. Amen. I say it like I've said it every Sunday, many times before. No wonder I'm in a mood to preach when I get to church on Sunday morning after what I see coming to church. I see people out wearing skin-tight clothing, riding bicycles up and down the roads where they ought to be coming to church. I see people on mowers and riding mowers, cutting grass on Sunday. I thought, where is the respect for God's day anymore? But you and I see the unseen. That's how it is in this world, isn't it? We see the unseen. We have an assurance. There's more to living than here in this life. We groan. We're desiring earnestly. We're waiting for our new wardrobe. We have a wardrobe that guarantees the final wardrobe, and that's called the righteousness of Christ. But we're still anticipating, waiting for that final wardrobe, that glorified body. Groan, desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. And I'll tell you, a person doesn't really groan earnestly desiring that spiritual body unless you are seeing the unseen. When your eyes are upon this world, you don't see this. But the less we loose our grips on this life, the more we see what we have right here before our eyes. Verse 3, if so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. There's a great truth there. You see, we tonight that are saved are not simply interested in going to heaven. We're interested in having a glorified body in heaven. We're not interested tonight in simply being unclothed of this physical body, but we're interested tonight in being clothed upon with that spiritual, that glorified body, which one day we will have. While we think about and look forward to going to heaven, I'm looking forward to being in heaven with a glorified body. Because I enjoy living. I enjoy living physically. And the body allows us to do that. And I think when it comes to eternity, living in a glorified body will be more than simply being in heaven spirit, in a spirit form, in soul spirit. You know, in eternity, it's amazing what we probably will be able to do that we don't understand now. We can't quite wrap our mind around it. Eating, yeah, probably. Will we be able to eat in heaven? I think we probably will. We will be like Him. We'll see Him as He is. And Jesus ate in His resurrected body, didn't He? Didn't He eat? Yes, He did. He served, which is a good point. He served fish. Now that right there is a good lesson that we need to do more fishing probably too, since that's the very food that Jesus served. Now, I messed myself up saying that next Sunday everybody in this church will be out on the lake, won't you? But the body, a body that will be equipped for heaven. The soul will not be found naked, but clothed with a body. Paul did not simply wish to be unclothed of the physical body and to escape the burden of life. He wished to be glorified. And we desire tonight to be glorified. That's not going to happen until the Lord comes back, though. That's not going to happen until the second coming. But that does not mean that when a saint dies, they still are going to be actively alive. They're going to be in heaven, absent from the body, present with the Lord. We know what the Bible says there. We believe that. But it's going to be much better to be in our body, our glorified body. You say, what will it be like to be in a glorified body? Well, I don't think any of us know, including me. I don't know. But I just believe this. I believe that whatever will enhance happiness and joy through living in a glorified body will be available to us in heaven. Whatever it takes, it's like this. Whatever it takes to make us happy, in heaven we'll have it. Now, have you ever thought about this? The things that it takes to make us happy now, we're probably going to find much of that is not what it's going to take to make us happy in heaven. What turns us on now will probably not turn us on in heaven. What turns a Christian on now? Well, we're so connected to this physical life that it's physical things as a general rule. It's health, wealth, happiness, peace on earth, getting along with people. Those are the things that turn us on here. But in heaven, I have a sneaky suspicion that whatever it takes to cause us to greater glorify and magnify our Lord, that's what will thrill our hearts the most. I'll tell you, you don't go too far in the book of Revelation, do you, without finding crowns being cast at Jesus' feet. You don't go too far in Revelation. I'll tell you, we're not going to be in heaven too long until we're going to realize quickly where the glory goes. I'm not myself, to be quite honest with you, I'm not too interested tonight in strutting around on Hallelujah Boulevard with a big old crown sitting on my head. That does not thrill me too much. What is a crown worth? I'm not much on keepsakes anyway, to be honest with you. I'd never make a hoarder. I like to get rid of stuff if it's not useful. So my idea of things and enjoyment are things that are useful. I think this, I believe that in heaven, the crowns that God's people can potentially earn will be surrendered willfully to Christ, laid back at His feet. I learned in my studies years ago that I think, and this is just me now. This is just my opinion. You don't have to accept this. But I think that crowns will represent capacities to glorify Jesus Christ throughout eternity. In other words, a person with two crowns will have a greater capacity to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ in eternity. If you have three crowns, that's a greater capacity. That's going to be the driving thrill of our hearts and our lives in eternity, is glorifying and magnifying Him that loved us and purchased us from our sin in His own blood. It's going to be a thrill to be at His feet. We're not going to be interested in anything tangible. It's going to be all spiritual. And our hearts then will be hearts that have been set free totally from any entanglement of sin. And our desire will be wholeheartedly to glorify Him. But it's going to take heaven in a new body to really see that or appreciate that. But when we see the unseen, the more we see the unseen, the more we can see the solid assurance of what lies ahead. God has destined us for a change. Verse 4. For we that are in this tabernacle, talking about the body, do groan. Do groan. I used to get tickled sometime. I'd hear people groan, older people groan a little bit. I can remember old brother John Long. Every time he moved, he groaned. And I thought, I wanted to say to him one time, John, you groan more than any person that I've ever seen. And now I find myself groaning more than ever. How many groaners do we have here tonight? Raise your hand, please. I'm glad to be in good company. You a groaner, Mike? Good. One of these days, we're not going to be groaners. We're going to be owners of the greatest body, aren't we? Look at verse 4. We that are in this old tabernacle, this body, we do groan. We're burdened. Not for that we would be unclothed. Not that we'd simply go to heaven in spirit, but clothed upon that mortality might be swallowed up of life. God has destined us for a change. And you know, the Holy Spirit's indwelling. Verse 5 is living proof that it's going to happen. And when we see the unseen, we realize that. Look at verse number 5. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who has given us the earnest of the Spirit. We have a token. We have a guaranteed token in the presence of the Holy Spirit that this will be like this. The indwelling of the Spirit of God is concrete evidence that it's going to happen. Every Christian here tonight has the indwelling Holy Spirit. That does not mean multiplicities of the Holy Spirit. There's only one Holy Spirit, but we're entering into a realm that only faith can accept. I don't understand it, but I accept it. There's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit manifested. God is manifest in three persons, but there's one God. I can't understand that, but I simply do believe it. And I accept the fact that I am not able to comprehend that this side of heaven. There's more that we don't understand than what we understand. The secret things belong unto the Lord. And that's one of those things. Who can explain the Trinity? But every Christian tonight is indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. Romans 8 tells us, if you have not the Spirit of Christ, you're none of His. So if a person does not have the indwelling Holy Spirit, they're not one of God's. They're not saved. But the Bible says the Spirit Himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. We have that testimony of the Holy Spirit. But the indwelling Holy Spirit is concrete evidence that we will have this new body. He's a guarantee. He's a token. It's proof. So we look now, go back to the text again. We see here that our verses 4 and 5 we've looked at, the Spirit of God's indwelling is pledge of the glorification. We are influenced by the unseen. Verse number 7, we walk by faith, not by sight. This is kind of like a gravity force is pulling us upward all along. I got on an elevator one time and pushed the down button, but the elevator went up, which meant that somebody got to the elevator button ahead of me. They'd already pushed up the up button, so I just went along for the ride. I went up and then back down. That's kind of the way it is in a spiritual application here. We can be pushing the down button all we want to, but God's people, the Spirit of God, has already pushed the up button. We're being drawn upward. And then look at verse number 8. We're confident, I say, willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. We can say tonight when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. I've said it many times. I know for sure tonight that I'm going to be glorified because I've already been resurrected. Every Christian's already been resurrected, so that's a guarantee we're going to one day be physically resurrected. We have been spiritually resurrected. You hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sin. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 1. That's spiritual resurrection. We're made alive in Christ. And that's a guarantee of physical resurrection. These things, if seen through the eyes of faith, gives us a great assurance. While the world, the flesh, the body, and things pull downward, there's that gravity force from above that's pulling us upward. We have hope. We have a concrete hope. Seeing the unseen gives us a solid assurance. Then in this same chapter, seeing the unseen gives us a sober awareness. A sober awareness. Look at verse number 9 and 10. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, meaning we labor whether we're here, present, or absent, out of the body, in the body, out of the body, we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. Verse 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his own body according to that he has done, whether it be good or bad. When we're seeing the unseen, not only do we have a solid assurance, but we have a sober awareness. We know that we will one day have to appear as Christians before the judgment seat of Christ. That's a sober awareness. That will cause us to walk with sobriety, to be more careful how we live our lives, to not flaunt our responsibilities, to take serious our Christian life. The Christian life is more than just fun and games. It's far more than that. It is a responsibility. We're going to one day have to stand before the Lord Jesus at the judgment seat of Christ. And we will have to give an account for the deeds done in our body, whether they be good or bad. Now, Paul talks about, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, he talks about potentially suffering loss. Suffering loss. Now, I don't know about you, but I've learned long ago, when you suffer, you hurt. Suffering hurts. So what does that say? That says a person can hurt as a Christian at the judgment seat of Christ. In what way? Well, stay with me. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, he talks about our works being either good or bad. Bad works are burned up like stubble. Good works, like the gold, silver, precious stones, will endure. Now, when a Christian stands before the Lord at the judgment seat of Christ, and our works go up in smoke because we find out that we labored for the wrong reason and our motive was not right and we were not faithful to the Lord, and our works are consumed, which will be less rewards, then that's going to cause us to hurt. We will suffer loss. Now, we can build a case around the fact. We can say, well, in heaven, it's going to be nothing but fulfillment and gratification and happiness and joy. Well, I can see that. But we're talking about review at the judgment seat of Christ here, though. We're talking about the fact that Christians who do not take serious their commitment, their serving God, could potentially suffer. And suffering means hurt. There's enough hurt going on down here. We don't need to be hurting at the judgment seat of Christ. But now, how does all that tie in? If we keep seeing the unseen better, then that'll cause us to have a sober awareness. While we go down life's road shouting the victory, singing the praises of Zion, rejoicing in church and having a good time, if we're seeing the unseen, we will also realize that accountability is coming too. So let's be careful how we live our lives. You see, most of us much rather prefer nothing but the positive. But throughout Scripture, we find God throwing in the negative too. You have to have a good positive terminal and a negative terminal to make a good battery, don't you? We need both. So, seeing the unseen calls us to have a sober awareness. We're going to one day have to face the Lord. Give account for our deeds here upon this earth. If I'm not seeing the unseen, if I'm just looking through the physical eyes and looking at life the way it is, I don't take that too serious. But I start taking it real serious when I start reading God's Word and looking through the eyes of faith and realizing that this is all real, that I've got to one day stand before my Savior and I've got to give an account to Him for my life and my ministry and my works. And that's pretty sobering. But I'll never see it unless I see the unseen. Then I thirdly will mention this. Let me hurry here. Seeing the unseen, we will recognize our special acquaintance. Verses 14 through 19. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge, if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. We have a special acquaintance. We see the unseen and are able to see our unseen Savior. He's with us. He's guiding us. His love constrains us, as this passage here brings out. Seeing the unseen enables us to see that we have Him. We have His guidance. We have Him helping us and with us. His companionship. When I start looking just through the physical eyes at this world, I don't see the Lord like I should. But Peter puts it like this. Whom having not seen, you love. And whom though now you see Him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. So the plain truth of the matter, we don't see Him with the physical eyes. But when we see the unseen, we can see Him through the eyes of faith. And we know that He's just as much real as if He was standing here in our presence tonight and we reached out and touched His nail-pierced hands. The eyes of faith beholds Him as being here, being real, being in our life, sustaining us, blessing us, loving us. The love of Christ constraineth us. You stop and think about that for a moment. How could Paul sense the love of Christ constraining him if he didn't in a special way recognize the presence of Christ? How can you recognize the love of Christ if you don't recognize the presence of Christ? In other words, for me to appreciate someone's love towards me, I have to know that person. What would it mean? What would it mean to us if someone on the other side of this earth would write us a letter and say, I love you? That wouldn't mean a whole lot. But if we knew that person, then if they said that they loved us, then that would mean everything. So when Paul said, the love of Christ constraineth me, he's as much as saying, the one that I see through my eyes of faith, the one whose presence I experience, the one who I know is with me all along, I sense His love because I sense His presence. I sense His passion because I sense His presence. Now we only can get that through seeing the unseen. It's a blessing to know that He's with us. He's blessing us. His love is for us. That's a great blessing. We'll not get that by seeing through the physical eyes, though. We'll not get that by dealing with life from the physical realm. It's when we're walking by faith we see these things. And then finally, tonight, seeing the unseen, the great blessings it brings, it gives a solid assurance. It gives a sober awareness. It gives a spatial acquaintance. And then it causes us to recognize a specific authority. Verse 20 and 21, now then we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God, for He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. His specific authority, he said, basically, we are an ambassador for Christ. That's authority. I tell you, when the President of the United States calls someone out and says, I want you to be an ambassador to England or ambassador to China, that's special authority that is given to a person to be counted as an ambassador, to go out, to represent the country, to represent the president, to be an ambassador. That's a special authority that's given. And God's people, we can see through the eyes of faith, we realize we have a special authority. We are an ambassador for Christ. We represent Him. Somebody said, Christ the Son of God has sent me through the midnight lands. Mind the mighty ordination of His nail-pierced hands. God's people tonight have a special authority conferred upon us. We are ambassadors. We represent this King, the Savior. We represent our leader, the Lord Jesus. And we represent our country. And the more we see the unseen, the more we see that special calling that we have and that special authority that we've been given. And let's represent Him well. Let's be a good ambassador. Let's speak of Him often. Let's tell others about Him. Let's represent Him well in this world of sin with people all around us looking for an answer. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you today.